Living with Maida Lee. Living with Maida Lee. Living with Maida Lee. Maida Lee. Living with Maida Lee.
Hello and welcome to Living with Maida Lee. My name is Andrew and I'm joined, as always, by Liam. How are things, sir?
Good evening. Yeah, you missed a bit where we say this is a TV nostalgia-based podcast.
Bit different, though, this series. Bit different, this series. Normally, if you're new to this podcast, we've got a few new followers, aren't we, to be fair? This is usually a nostalgic TV podcast, and it's called Living With Maida Lee, because we can't remember a week in our lives when Richard Maida Lee hasn't been on our screens. And with all this podcast being about TV history, we named it after the man. It would probably see more than any ever, aren't we, on our TV since we were born.
He's involved in a big way again now.
He's always on it. But we're not affiliated with Maida Lee. And if you're not a fan of him, and I understand many people aren't, then there's no reason why you can't have a lot of fun with us, because it's not about Richard Maida Lee at all, in particular this series, which is why I didn't announce the intro as normal, because this...
Yeah, fair point.
The new series is about us trying to find the best UK sitcom of the last 30 years.
Yeah, and that is quite clear in what we said last week and quite clear in what we posted. And we still got people saying, what about Fawlty Towers? What about Only Fools and Horses? We got people having a go at us saying Father Ted, even though it's a UK-produced sitcom.
Well, I'll get on to that, because this is one of the ones we're doing today. But so thanks to everyone. We've got miles more votes than we thought of, actually.
Did really well, yeah. Thanks for anyone who voted and shared it. And obviously, the Major got his regiment involved, so that boosted the numbers.
He likes a long-winded, pointless exercise, doesn't he, in terms of when you can vote and things. So so thanks for everyone to vote in, and this is how the second round has lined up. So what we're going to do now is we're going to go a brief overview of each sitcom that's made it through. Today we're going to do the first two matches, and then the next four podcasts we're going to cover them all the second round.
It still sounds confusing. This episode and the next three, we'll all be discussing who got through the groups, and then we'll be announcing the next vote after we've finished those four. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. So today, for instance,
going through, you're only going to hear about the first two groups now, but we already know all the groups, so we're going to go through them all quickly.
Yeah, so we're going to go through, this is the second round lineup, and we're going to cover these in the next four pods. So it's The Thick of It versus The Royal Family, which is a big hitter, I think, for a second round one. Thick of It, piss the group, to be fair. Father Ted versus Early Doors and Mighty Boosh was both on the same percentage for about a week, and we thought we were going to have to do a tie break situation, which is basically us just deciding which one goes through. But
yeah, we ranked them before the tournament and said, as a last resort, if they get bang on the same amount of votes, we'll use our system because we want this to be people voting, people listening. We don't want this to be our final. We want it to be interactive. So that's the only time you'll get any sort of direct involvement from us in a dead heat.
Yeah, completely. So Father Ted, Early Doors, Craig Cash won it last minute above. We got a last minute vote, pretty much. I think it was 17.1% to 16.8%, like ridiculously close. So Early Doors have got through.
Scrambling last minute effort, that, weren't it, from Craig?
Yeah, and those first two matches, by the way, what we're going to cover today, we're going to go into the thick of it. Royal Family, Father Ted, and Early Doors.
I pictured that. Do you know, as Gazza's sort of late chance, we slid and missed it. I pictured that as Craig Cash getting his boot on the end of it.
You reckon Cash has got, Cash on the end of it. Cash! Yeah, it'd be amazing. Peep Show versus Max and Paddy's Road to Nowhere. Peep Show came from behind, actually, to win the group.
And Max and Paddy, that ended up sort of getting towards the eventual winner that you're going to mention. But yeah,
no, it did. It won their group. It won the group. Oh, no,
Max,
it didn't win
Paddy.
The group.
It was creeping up, I think.
It came to, yeah, it did have a late surge. The winner of that group actually were Friday Night Dinner, and that's going to play Phoenix Knights. Phoenix Knights were top of their group for a long time and let it slip, but they still qualified. So Kay resting his key players, weren't they?
He's got through the group. That was the main thing.
We've got Extras versus Dark Place. Dark Place came from bottom of the table and just somehow got to second place. Really tight group. Edged out, not going out. Lee Mack, obviously, he's got more money behind him, I'd say, but... Dark Place is through. Gavin and Stacey's versus the Toast of London. Then we've got the office versus the IT crowd. And we've not planned this because people have had a go as well at the seedings. We just drew it out of a hat as random. Because again, we didn't want to put our own sort of take on this. And we didn't want to like make it about our favourite comedies. And if we seeded them, we'd have had to do that to some degree. But we've ended up with an unbelievable last matchup, which is the Inbetweeners versus I'm Alan Partridge.
Yeah, I think that stands out as a, and that'll actually be in the last episode of this round. So that'll be in the fourth episode that we'll cover that.
Yeah. So what we're going to do with this one is a brief overview of the first four sitcoms that have gone through who are playing each other. And then we're going to put it out to a vote again after we've done them all, after the four podcasts. The further a sitcom gets, the deeper the analysis will get from us. What we're going to do this week is just pick, we're going to have a bit of a chat about them and then pick a clip out of what we'd show to someone who's never seen it to try and get them into it. Is that right, Liam? Is that what you've got?
Yeah, we sort of said not necessarily your favourite clip, but a clip that if somebody said, oh, I've never seen that, that you could put them on this clip and it'd give them an idea of what's going on and maybe make them decide if, oh, yeah, I could probably get into that or, nah, it's not for me.
Yeah, and then as we go on, we'll get further and further. And obviously the final, you know, we'll have done four episodes on it and it'll get more and more sort of obscure trivia and stuff like that. But the first game, are you ready to start, Liam?
Let's get into the first matchup.
The first matchup is The Thick of It versus The Royal Family. Now, we'll talk about The Thick of It first because that won the group, and then we'll go on to The Royal Family. But we're going to play a theme tune for these, but Thick of It doesn't have a theme tune, which has ruined that. But yeah, but we've got theme tunes for the rest, so don't worry about it. But The Thick of It, if people don't know, is a sitcom that was originally about the inner workings of the British government, and it later became about the opposition parties. It was first broadcast on BBC Four in 2005, switching to BBC Two for the third series, and overall it ran for four series, including three special hour-long episodes, and obviously a spin-off film, In the Loop. Have you seen In the Loop?
I haven't, actually. And
you're not? It's one of the few films I've seen.
I know you love... Well, we shouldn't be giving too much away, but I know you're a fan of this, and I've seen loads of clips of it, and it just seems to be people shouting at each other. But actually, for the purpose of this... I ended up watching some clips today. I watched a few over the weekend. I watched an episode. I was kind of slightly distracted at the time, but I did watch a full episode. And actually, yeah, I can see the attraction. I think I'm going to give it a go.
Yeah, it's brilliant, I think. Anyway, created by Armando Iannucci and a large team of writers, actually, which is unusual for a British sitcom, including Jesse Armstrong, Simon Bakewell, and David Quantick.
Jesse Armstrong was involved. As in Succession and Peep Show.
Peep Show, he was one of the writers on it. But some of the dialogue were improvised. Peter Capaldi, who plays Malcolm Tucker, said 80% of the final script is not what they started with, because obviously it develops as they were, you know.
Well, there's some clips that give that away, I think, because I was watching one with him, Peter Capaldi, and the guy who plays him out, we mentioned him before, out of The Thin Blue Line, who says Namby Pam, he's called Steve something in The Thick of It.
Stephen Ague.
Yeah, well, there's a bit where they're arguing and he says something and he kind of starts laughing, Stephen. So it seems genuine and that makes sense knowing that there's a lot of improvisation in there.
Yeah. So what I'm going to do basically is why I think it's great. And then if you can do, you know, as you said, you've not watched much of it, but I've seen Alistair Campbell say before that this is unrealistic. But when you look at the shit show that we've had in the last decade in government, you can actually, I think you can imagine this happening, can't you, in Westminster?
Yeah, it's very authentic. You could believe that they're, I mean, all right, maybe slightly dramatised, but you could believe that these are based on real events, absolutely. I mean, I would imagine they got some insight. I don't think this is just people writing blind. It seems to me to be, well, accurate in my mind.
Yeah. So it's like full scandal, massive cock-ups, half-baked ideas, and basically just shows that, I think what the thing is it shows is that MPs, you know, according to this version of events, just try and cover their own back. But the best thing for me, and you mentioned about just people swearing at each other, is how harsh it is. And I think that's the key selling point, because it's not just people being harsh to each other or swearing at each other. I think it's the most creative insults ever used in any creative media. I can't think of any show that has better insults than this.
Yeah, no, I'll go with that. I think it's kind of quite extreme abuse, isn't it? Like, particularly Big character.
Yeah, oh yeah, it's unbelievable. I think it's really creative. I think those people who say, swearing. I want to write an article about this, actually. About swearing, like, you know, if you swear a lot, you've got a lack of intelligence. Should be made to watch this, because I think it shows the beauty of a well-chosen swear word and how it can transform a sentence, if you know what I mean.
Just you trying to back up your own overuse of swear words.
Oh, fuck off. Yeah, yeah, it's true, though. Yeah. That's exactly what I'm doing, yeah. But, obviously, the biggest thing, a mind-blowing performance, I think, from Peter Capaldi, was Malcolm Tucker, who he's like the spin doctor. He's not even an MP in it. He's supposed to be the Labour Party. I don't know if you got this with the bits that you've seen, but so Tucker's team of the Labour Party, there's Peter Mannion's team of the Conservatives, and the guy who I can't remember the name, they're the Lib Dems.
Peter Mannion, by the way, is brilliant.
Yeah, absolutely amazing, Peter Mannion. But we're going to pick a scene each. We're not going to go mad into these, like, in terms of in-depth. If it gets through, we'll go more and more in-depth. But the scene I'm going to pick to what I probably show, and probably I've shown at you, actually, to what I think could get people into it. This is a scene where Malcolm Tucker, and it's just about him being in total control again, thinking everyone around him is completely incompetent. And this is him having a go at an MP called Ben Swain.
Enough. Can we all just shut the fuck up, okay, so we can gather our thoughts? So, one at a time. Private Godfrey, get to your station. I want to hear what the word is on the street.
All right, Ben has been seen coming into Dosac but not going out. Possibly Ben is her running mate as number two in a leadership
Right, group. I don't mind going out there now and telling them all face to face just how much I hate Nicola and how unlikely that is to happen. And get myself a sandwich. I'm fucking starving.
What did I just fucking say? What did I just fucking say? I said one at a fucking time. Stand up. I'm telling you to fucking stand up, you sack of fucking cum. Stand the fuck up. Fucking move, right. See that? Fucking play with that, right? Never mind your fucking toys, play with that. Go and stand in that fucking corner. Stand over there, right? And do not move, or I will perform a fucking living fucking autopsy on you. With a fucking rusty spade, and I'll have your kidneys for fucking cuff rings. Terry!
Yeah. It's good. Like I said, it didn't necessarily get me into it because... You have sent me that clip before.
Bad, yeah.
And I didn't go and watch it. So, but yeah, I get where you're coming from. Now I've watched a bit more of it. I understand it a little bit more.
I just don't think...
A bit cleverer than I thought. I just thought it was somebody saying, you fucking idiot. You're a fucking idiot. You fuck. You... Which in some ways it is, actually.
I've never heard anyone be called a sack of fucking cum. I'm telling you, he's so exasperated how he says it. I'm telling you to stand up, you sack of fucking cum. Ben Swain's fantastic in it as well. I nearly picked another one for him, but I don't want to get away in case we talk about it in later episodes. What clip did you go for then for the thick of it?
So my clip, we just mentioned him, Peter Mannion, and he's in one of these sort of think tank type meetings where everybody's sat cross-legged and having to sort of propose ideas and... Yeah, I just love his sort of realistic response, I suppose, slightly over the top, but I get his frustration from a lot of this sort of crap, so here's my clip.
We do away with computers.
Yes,
idiot, that's fucking mental. No blocking, Peter, only counterpoint. Do away with computers, what do we think? How would it affect us? Good idea? Bad idea? Good idea for me, I wouldn't get any more of your fucking emails. try and stay cross-legged if you can, but don't break the circle. I'm 54, Stuart, my knees are fucked and my patience is snapped. Some of us had to go through this hippie shit the first time around. I'm not talking about trying to sell it to the electorate, Peter. I'm talking about exploring it within the free space of the circle. Okay, give me the ball. Give me the ball. Give me the ball. No, give me the fucking ball, Stuart. Let's do away with you.
What?
Filters off, daddy-o. Let it all hang out. Oh, and maybe the reason you don't mind handing your phone in is that it doesn't ring as much as it used to.
But it's just good. I like him. I like his voice as much as anything, I think. Peter Mannion.
Yeah, fantastic. So that's it. Like I say, we're not going to go madly in depth for this because we're going to try and get, you know, the ones that deserve, according to you, the most analysis are the ones that... are going to get through. But this, the thick of it, is up against the royal family, Liam, and I'll hand the floor over to you for this.
I would like to leave this city. This old town don't smell too pretty, and I can feel the warning signs. running around my mind. So what do you say? You can give me the dreams in your mind anyway. Half the world away. Half the world away.
Do you know, on the theme, they asked Noel Gallagher, like, can we have one of your songs? This was obviously back in the 90s when Oasis were massive. And he gave him Married With Children, you know, Definitely Maybe. Your music, right. Shining. Then he goes, oh, I never want Half the World Away. And he says, to this day, he doesn't know. It does work, but it's not about, you know what I mean? It's not about a family or anything like that. So, but it does work.
Yeah, it's brilliant. And but actually, to me, you know my thoughts on this. Like, it's a great TV theme, but then I don't kind of almost acknowledge it as a proper song now. Like, I wouldn't listen to it on an album now. I'd skip it because it's a TV theme now.
So
ran for three series, 1998 to 2000, and then they did some specials after that. Written by Craig Cash and Carolina Hearn, obviously. There are some other writers that pop up in some of the later episodes. So Phil Mealy will get a mention later on. He writes and a couple of the specials.
Yeah.
Directed by Mark Mylod, Steve Bendelack, Carolina Hearn. I had in my head it was directed by Craig Cash, so I was wrong on that.
I think Hearn, they wanted to bring in, they said it weren't going to work because it was so unique at the time. Like, just having a show with Noel Can Laughter as a comedy were unique at the time.
Well, yeah, and that is one of the bits of trivia that I've got for it. Yeah. So they did want to create this in front of a live audience and it then even possibly add more laughter on after that. And yeah. For anyone who's not seen this, I highly recommend it. It's basically we're watching the life of the royal family. They live, I think they live in Stockport or kind of on the edge of Stockport.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
And it's basically just a view of family life. It's, to me, it's so well sort of, what's the word? It so well captures a moment and a time of just a family going about their normal business, really. There's no ridiculous over-the-top plot that drives the story. There's no big crashing moments and reveals and punchlines. There are loads of gags and loads of laughs, but some of the brilliant bits, just the really subtle moments where people are watching telly, and it's just people reacting to each other. It's a really clever concept. I don't think you could have hundreds of this type of comedies on TV. Like, at one stage, there were loads of sketch shows. I think this was a bit unique. I don't think you could have loads of these on at any one time, because as much as I loved it, I can't imagine sort of sitting and watching three or four of this type of show in one evening.
But it was so unique at the time, as you said. Like, I mean, like you said, the subtleness. The Office gets loads of praise for being like, oh, you know, it does subtle comedy so well. And obviously this is before it. There's no, like you say, there's not many huge scenes on this. Like, in terms of all the other ones that we're going to talk to, there's a lot of massive scenes, you know what I mean? Like, that'll stand out. There's not one here that I can really think of where you think, oh, that, you know, that's what really sums up the royal family, because it's all so subtle. And I think you have to watch a full episode to fully get how funny it is.
Yeah, yeah. I think if I just mentioned, so Ricky Tomlinson as Jim Royal, really iconic character in terms of comedy, but Sue Johnston as Barbara, his wife, Carolina Hearn, and Craig Cash is Dave and Denise Best, and Ralph Little as their son. His name's gone out of my head.
Anthony. You lazy little shit.
Get the red sauce, you lazy little git. this is brilliant. This is of a time. I mean, there's other members of the cast that are really good in it. Jessica Hines, Jeffrey Hughes, Sheridan Smith briefly appears in it. It kind of changed tone, though, after the series, didn't it? So the three series were very, as we've said, very kind of realistic. Here's life at home for a family. You could have known this family. They could have lived on your street or somewhere that you knew. But then they did go a little bit more wacky towards some of the specials. And, you know, to some people, that's good.
They went outside the house. I don't remember. Yeah, I could be wrong here, but I don't remember them in the first couple of series, ever actually venturing outside their house at all. They talk about the feathers a lot, but they're never, all you see is the living room and the kitchen.
Yeah, that's right. And I think at the end of series one, you see the bathroom when Denise goes into labor. But it really is sort of almost quite a hard sell, I would imagine, on paper, because it is set in two rooms. And I can see why they thought that would work on stage, but I'm so glad they didn't.
I mean, Ahern said actually in an interview that she was massive at the time, and Mrs. Merton, that were like her big thing. And they were a deal breaker, which is, look, if you're going to film this in front of a studio audience, I am not doing any more Mrs. Merton. Sort of like use the power if you want. And Craig Cash said that, like, he'd not really done anything in TV at that point. He'd been on radio and things like that, but he was sort of
Didn't we find out that he wrote for something else? Was it that Peter Kay thing?
That Peter Kay thing, he was script editor, yeah, but it wasn't a star. I think this might have even been the first thing he appeared in, actually. Yeah. If it gets through, we'll do more, you know, research.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
And he was sort of like, took a step back. I'm like, wow. You know what I mean? She's like that passionate about this. She was fantastic in Ahern, in all the characters that she played in the Fast Show as well, and Sister Mary, and Mrs. Merton were fantastic. Apart from that spin-off, were awful. Can you remember Mrs. Merton and Malcolm?
I think, yeah, I don't know if you sent me some stuff from that. Yeah, I don't remember watching it at the time, but yeah.
That was his first thing, actually. We're in that. It's fucking awful. Anyway.
In this, Caroline Ahern is absolutely fantastic. I mean, as are all the cast, really. They all, you know, Ricky Tomlinson manages to find some sort of likability in what should be a kind of awful, horrible character, really.
Mm.
Ralph Little doesn't have sort of the most to work with as Anthony, but manages to create a really well-rounded character. Mm. And yeah, it's one of them where the key characters are brilliant, but the characters on the periphery, Joe and Cheryl, Twiggy, there's just some fantastic characters in that. And you might not know people exactly like that, but certainly, I don't know, kind of living in a northern town, it all felt very... I don't know, very, very comfortable. Like, these were people you could recognise from your childhood almost.
I imagine that every single, at least northern person, looked at Nana and said, that is exactly the same as my nan. I think when everyone said it, they probably thought, oh my God, my nan's like that, as if like they were the first person, because that's another fucking amazing character in it, Nana. Maybe the best.
Yeah. I mean, she's got some real iconic moments. They're not... There is one particular moment that we might save that for further down the line to discuss if it does get through, actually. But yeah, I think it's time where I'm going to play my, again, not necessarily favourite, but a clip that I think if you've never seen it, hopefully this might make you want to watch it. So this is the neighbour, Cheryl's come round, and she's got a Lonely Hearts ad. So a Lonely Hearts ad in the paper, and she wants them to read it. Here we go.
Oh, look. What does it say, Bab? Oh, hang on.
Charismatic 30s female.
No, read Cheryl's out.
Oh. Bubbly, cuddly, likes going out for meals or staying in for meals. Both vegetarian and meat eaters considered.
Oh, good thinking, babes.
Looking for friendship stroke love with male aged any. Able-bodied or otherwise. Skin colour, not essential. No height restrictions.
No, you're on a roller coaster, are you, Chad?
Own vehicle, not necessary, as father will pick up and drop off.
Oh, you know what the problem is here, don't you? You're playing too bloody hard to get, girl.
Amazing, this, because... she's amazing in it, Jessica Stevenson, in this. Like, it's just... So shy and like timid, and you know what I mean? It's amazing how she plays.
The dynamic's brilliant, yeah. She plays a bit sort of bit dumb, not knowing what's going on. Jim's kind of mocking her, but with some affection, I think. And yeah, I love the line from Caroline Ahern where she said, I can't remember what it says, but she says, oh, great move, babes, or something like that. Well said, babes.
There's another great scene in there, and not the one I'm going to play is when, Cheryl comes in and they're all saying, oh, congratulations, Cheryl. They go, oh, wow, what's happened? He goes, well, she went to see a clairvoyant, and she goes, you're going to find love within 2 days, 2 weeks, 2 months, or 2 years. And woo, they're all like celebrating about it. She goes, like, and then I can't remember her name now. One of Denise's mates says, ah, yeah, she's full of shit, that clairvoyant. And then Cheryl's mum goes, well, it's better to have loved than lost. loved at all.
Yeah, Mary's brilliant. She reminds me a little bit of my grandma, actually. Mary Carroll from Next Door, yeah, played by Doreen Keogh. She's absolutely brilliant, yeah.
Yeah. My clip I'm going to pick is Denise and Dave have just come to the house because obviously it's their mum and dad. We don't see Denise. As far as I know, we don't see Dave's mum and dad at all. They are spoken about, but...
Yeah, him in the Christmas special where they go around for Christmas dinner. Because it's him in it. Fair point, well made, Jimbo.
Yeah, of course you do. Yeah, sorry. Anyway.
Dave, he's brilliant.
Dave and Denise have just come round to the house and they've just taken a seat.
Have you take your coat off?
I'm all right.
We just got to take it off, Dave.
It's all right, I'm okay.
Why don't you just take it off?
I'm fine with it all.
Take your jacket off, Dave.
I'm okay, Barbara.
You won't feel the benefit, you know, when you go out.
That's not matter.
Why don't you just take it off?
Take your bloody jackets off, will you, Dave?
No.
Bloody hell's right.
Come on, off. What's that? I was all right then with that on.
His voice is absolutely amazing, Dave. So he goes like, oh, we're all right there, me.
Yeah. I mean, I love it. Even when he becomes a bit more ridiculous towards the end, he's still a great character. But, yeah, I love the sort of the early stages of Craig Cash, really, where he just humbles to himself, don't he? Yeah, he's brilliant.
Because obviously the sort of joke there is that they're all saying, like, you know, take your coat off, take your coat off, and Jim goes mad. But my favourite bit is... You know, Dave was like, oh, all right there. Like, but he's still taking it off. Like, it's amazing.
Yeah, it's funny. Everyone else is sort of uncomfortable with him having his coat on. It's not bothering him. But, yeah, they sort of badger him into taking it off, yeah.
I think my favourite bit of it is when Barbara goes, take your coat off, Dave. Like, cause she's supposed to be like the voice of reason, isn't she?
I nearly played a clip that really made me laugh where they're having bacon sandwiches. And, again, there's nothing happening. But
yeah.
He brings bacon sandwiches in for him, Anthony, and Jim's saying, oh, brown sauce, but any old brown sauce. He keeps mumbling brown sauce. Yeah. But Dave, when he gets his, he puts it on his lap. He lifts it up like the bread. He's going to put red sauce on it or tomato sauce, but they call it red sauce. But he lifts up the top piece of bread. And it's just like a, I can't whistle very well on cue, but it just looked like twit true whistle, like, because he's seen his bacon, his bread, and Barbara gives him like a completely confused look. Just little subtle moments, it's so good art.
There's a thing actually where you can't, there's a lot, even though it's like mostly dialogue based, I always thought it would work well as a radio comedy. Some of the physical stuff that we're just not going to work on a podcast is absolutely just,
yeah, some of the looks they give each other, and Jim sort of, you can see he plays it really well. You can see his brain thinking when he's trying to get out of doing something, or he's got a plan. And yeah, again, just really, really good. I mean, that first matchup there, it's up for you guys to vote. Two really strong contenders there, and we'll be really intrigued to see whether you think the thick of it or the Royal Family should progress into the quarterfinals.
No,
that is the quarterfinal, isn't it?
No, it's good to go into quarterfinal.
All right, last 16 to go into the quarterfinal. Yeah, so who do you want in the quarterfinal? The votes won't go up until we've done all four of the first episodes, but when it comes to it, you're going to be choosing Royal Family against the thick of it.
So, match number two is your Father Ted versus Early Doors. And this, I will start with Father Ted. Do you like that theme, by the way?
Yeah, I don't love it, but I do like it. And actually, I know this is jumping right to the end, but what I liked when I was re-watching some episodes for this is the kind of the ending of the last ever episode where it plays the theme music and it goes back through some clips of what they've done. And I thought, God, it was actually brilliant, Father Ted. I've kind of forgotten how good it was.
Yeah, Neil Hannon, Divine Comedy, wrote that. He also, on this series, wrote My Lovely Horse.
My lovely, lovely, lovely horse.
Not the crap version, the one where they dream that they've... Anyway, so let's get to the elephant in the room. The inclusion of Father Ted has caused... Well, since some controversy, we've had one message saying it's not a UK sitcom, which sent me down a massive rabbit hole on Reddit of people arguing about whether this should be classed as British or Irish. It's written by Irishmen. It's mostly Irish actors that appear in it, but it's actually mostly set in Britain, and it was produced by a British company and shown...
Well, it's not set in Britain, but it's filmed in Britain.
Sorry, filmed in Britain. Sorry, it's filmed in Britain, like the house that they're in is filmed in Britain. So the reason, like... I think it's okay. IMDb, Channel 4, Rotten Tomatoes, all have it down as a British comedy. The BBC included it in their best sitcoms ever, which they did about 15 years ago, which comes second, by the way, this, behind Towers, by a panel of comedy experts as well. And I just think if we didn't include it, then we are going to go against, what, far more established media.
Yeah, but I don't even think it matters. I think you're overthinking this. Our criteria was it produced by a British company, and it was. So yeah, I get there's all sorts of stipulations, and I get some people might say, oh, I wouldn't have it as a British one in my list. Well, that's fine. You do your World Cup of sitcoms, do the podcast, and we'll check it out. But this is the rules that we used.
The rules are, and it's fucking brilliant anyway. So it aired over three series from April 1995 till May 1998, including a Christmas special for a total of 25 episodes. And if you've never seen it before, it's about three priests and their housekeeper living on an island. And I can only describe it really as completely mad. It's like, unlike the other two that we've spoken about, this isn't in any way meant to be realistic. It's surreal, slapstick, and it's just... It's really
borderline, like, there's nothing in there that couldn't happen. It's just that these characters are almost too mad to all exist in one
world. I don't know. I suppose, I mean, I can't think of anything at the top of my head. I don't know. But anyway, yeah, so for a popular sitcom, though, I mean, Mighty Boosh just missed out from playing this, actually, because Early Doors just managed to beat it. And that is obviously like a cult classic, but Father Ted's massive. And it's probably as, I wouldn't say it's as mad as Mighty Boosh, but it is really bizarre.
I think it's one that's very easy at a glance to misunderstand. And I did this. And I did this also with Alan Partridge. So when I first tuned into his sort of chat show, I thought, God, this is awful. Because I only spent 10 seconds watching it and thought it was just a real chat show.
Wow.
This is, at a glance, it seems, all the colours are quite dingy. It's about some priests in a room talking that you think, God, this could be quite dull. It's absolutely mad. It's wacky. It's, I mean, Father Ted Crilly, you know, is one of the best sitcom characters ever.
He's
so strong. I mean, there are good people around him. And when you first come to it, I think you think, oh, Dougal's the star. But actually, Ted is so good as a character.
The best thing about Ted is when you first watch maybe three or four episodes, he's the sanest one in the entire island. By the end of it, he's as mad as them all, but just in a completely different way, isn't he?
Yeah, I love the kind of constant joke about the money that it should have gone to some charity event ended up in his account, and he has to keep justifying that the money was resting in his account. I love that.
It's absolutely amazing. But I think this is one of the best uses in comedy history, side characters. You mentioned side characters in Royal Family. What I love about this is some of these characters only appear in like one episode, but you feel almost every one of them could have a series to themselves. Obviously, the main four characters are great in their own way. And like I said, Ted is my favourite. But it's incredible that in this one comedy, which only ran for three series, you've got people like Bishop Brennan, who's like Ted's boss, like the angriest priest ever. Father Dick Byrne, who is absolutely Ted's main rival. He's brilliant. Father Larry Duff, who Ted always rings at inconvenient moments when he's like skiing or whatever. Father Noel Furlong, played by Graham Norton, who's the most irritating priest in the world. Graham Norton in this... I remember watching this the first time and thinking that character was the funniest character I'd ever seen.
It's funniest I've ever seen Graham Norton, but yeah, it's brilliant.
It's so funny. Like, it's just like the most irritating priest ever. But my favourite of all the side characters, to be fair, is Father Finton Stack, who plays so jungle good. Music really loud. He's described by Ted as being worse than Hitler, because Hitler would never play jungle music at 3 o'clock in the morning.
You know what? I nearly had that as my clip, because I love... Yeah, I love that as a joke, that he says his words because Hitler wouldn't play jungle music. But I love the question Dougal posed to him when they say, God, he's so bad. What would he be like, Hitler or one of those mad fellas?
Yeah.
I just love the way he says that.
This was difficult to pick a clip out for, because a lot of it is sort of based on, like I say, I won't say it's slapstick as such, but you do need to see quite a lot of the best things. You know, I'm going to pick a clip. But I could have picked the clip before that. But
I think on this one, just before we go into the clips, if you are interested in giving it a go, I would say you probably give it a couple of episodes. Don't just watch 5 or 10 minutes. So this is going to be hard within a couple of clips. It doesn't necessarily lend itself that well to that. So
this was the most difficult one in terms of clips out of the four that we've done today, because I didn't really know. Everything's funny about it, but again, it's really, in the way that a lot of things come back, it's got that sort of thing to it as well. And a bit like, it's obviously nothing like Curb Your Enthusiasm, but you have to sort of watch the beginning of an episode to get the ending a lot of the time.
Yeah, there is definitely sort of threads that run through the episode and come together. Yeah, it's very cleverly written, yeah.
But the scene I want to play is from Are You Right There, Father Ted? Which is, this is bizarre, well, not bizarre, but Ted, the actor Dermot Morgan, had actually died before the third series was aired, and this was the first episode that were aired after his death. Anyway, Ted's been falsely accused of being a racist because he's put a lampshade on his head and pretended to be an Asian farmer. And he does an offensive impression of a Chinese person. Then he turns around, and I love that the Yin family, who are a Chinese family living on the island, are so close to his window, watching, looking in. Like, why would they be that close to his window? Yeah. Like, so they've seen him. So they accuse him of being a racist. Ted comes out of his house and is greeted by this. Again, another great use of characters you'll never see again.
Hello there, Father.
Hello, Colm. Out and about?
I am. Same as yourself.
Good, good.
I hear you're a racist now, Father.
What?
How did you get interested in that type of thing?
Who said I'm a racist?
Everyone's saying it, Father. Should we all be racist now? What's the official line the church is taking on this?
Oh, no.
Only the farm takes up most of the day, and at night I just like a cup of tea. I might be able to devote myself full-time to the old racism.
Good for you, Father.
What? Oh, Mrs. Carberry.
Good for you, Father. Well, someone had the guts to stand up to them at last. Coming over here, taking our jobs and our women, and acting like they own a second place. Good Father. Good for you. Good for you. I like a second. Second Greeks.
It isn't the Greeks, it's the Chinese he's after.
I'm not after the Chinese.
That is a good choice of clip, actually, because that is a mad. If you said I'm watching a sitcom about priests, like, and you said, oh, all right, yeah, I'll give that a minute. And I hear you're a racist now, Father. Yeah, brilliant. Really good.
Should we all really be mad. So calm? Should we all be racist? My favourite bit is when she goes, fucking Greeks, and he goes, no, it's the Chinese he's after. So
he's after,
calm.
Yeah. It's the Chinese he's after.
Just before you go to your clip, by the way, there's something I forgot to say, which I found quite interesting. In January 2007, I might have got these two names, I presume I'm just going to pronounce them. A dispute arose between Inishia and Inishmore over which island can claim to be Craggy Island, and therefore a three-day Friends of Ted festival. And this dispute was settled by a five-a-side football match, and now Inishmore won 2-0. And they're now allowed to use the title, the Craggy Island Festival. And there's been a convention held there, Father Ted convention, since 2007.
Did they win it with a man in a remote control wheelchair?
Those are fake arms. That, yeah. Is, again, is why it's so when you're watching it, it's a ridiculous, it's an over 75s match. And it's a ridiculous, but the fact that he's got fake rubber arms controlling the ball and the music,
yeah.
Ridiculous. Anyway, what's your clip, Liam?
My clip is Father Ted, the mainland, and it's where they see Richard Wilson in a distance. And I love the childlike innocence of both, because like you say, Ted's supposed to be the sane and sensible one, but actually how out of touch with the real world they both are. So this is when they spot Richard Wilson.
God, look what it is. It's that actor. Who? You know, you're man from One Foot in the Grave, I don't believe it, man. Oh, wow. God, that's amazing. Look from there. Do you know what he'd love? He'd love it if somebody came up to him and said his catchphrase.
Oh, yeah, Ted. He'd love that. You should definitely do that.
Should I?
Oh, yeah. I'd say no one ever does that to him. He'd think you're hilarious. You know, this is one of these times when I'm absolutely 100 million percent sure that you'd be doing the right thing. I can safely say you definitely, definitely won't regret doing that.
You know what? I'm going to do it.
Brilliant.
Will I?
Yeah, go on.
Hold the camera.
It's so good. It's so good, this. The whole is... this is where Graham Norton's in this one as well, Nolf.
Yeah.
You get caught in a cave, like get stuck in a cave, and he goes, let's have a game who can screech the loudest. I'll go first. Ridiculous. But yeah, that's a fantastic clip. I love how Dougal's going, what did he say? So obvious, like he's getting
beat. I'm not sure kind of how well it's translating the clip, but obviously Richard Wilson ends up attacking him, and yeah, it's just brilliant. I love the sort of naive innocence of Ted, like, I tell you what he'd love. As if, like, I love that concept that's never happened to him. They can't
believe it. Google says, doesn't he? Yeah, I bet no one's ever thought of doing that before.
Yeah.
Brilliant. So Father Ted, that is going up against Early Doors, which, like I said, as we said, got through with a late Craig Cash winner. So we've got two Craig Cashers in this one. Just before you start on Early Doors, I know you've got some facts on it. Peter Kay was the script editor for this after Caroline Ahern pulled out.
Oh, wow. Didn't know that.
So he returned the favour, because obviously Craig Cash was the script editor on that Peter Kay thing. But anyway, on you go, Liam.
Here we go. This is Early Doors.
You never have to feel that the night is yours alone. Rushing through the stars, captivated by the worlds beyond. You aren't alone, it's a small world, and you've grown.
What do you think is the theme tune, by the way, first? I'm probably going to ask you this for everyone.
Yeah, I like it. Fits really well. I don't know, Small World. I think that's a perfect summary of a title for a song, because
Roddy Frame, isn't it? Aztec Camera, you know what they did? Somewhere in my heart there is the world to carry on. by the way,
they the words?
No, probably not. I
Somewhere in my heart there is a star that shines for you. That's what I thought it was.
Maybe
there's another verse.
Anyway, but the only thing I don't like about it is when I start singing it, I start going into Bodger and Badger. Bodger loves mashed potatoes, Bodger.
I can't stand
Badger.
That as well, yeah.
Yeah, sorry, so I've ruined that for everyone.
I absolutely hate Bodger as well, so yeah. I quite like it. Captivated by the world beyond. Yeah, just quite...
Mashed potatoes! Anyway.
Quite sort of downbeat, and Small World absolutely sums up this, so...
Yeah.
These are people, well, first of all, written by Craig Cash and Phil Mealy. It's another one set in a pub in Stockport. It's how would you... It's not downbeat as such, but it kind of is. The life evolves around being in this pub, the Grapes.
And yeah.
Everything evolves around this. The landlord, Ken or Kenneth, played by John Henshaw, who's actually also in the Royal Family, is the Scouse bloke. He's absolutely brilliant. He's the bit that ties the whole thing together. But this is one where, rather than sort of it being central to him, he's just the moving part that lets everybody interact. The side characters are absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's a bit. I can understand again if people watch this for a first episode. I think this is definitely one that you might have to watch the entire series to really, really get. And it seems to have got more credit over time. I think it's one of those things you think back of. I don't think the characters are in it are depressing, but other than what's the old guy called? For his name now, but yeah,
Tommy.
Tommy, yeah.
Yeah, played by Rodney Litchfield. Really downbeat character. Oh, bloody hell, it's not worth it, is it? Like, yeah.
The rest of them seem really content, to be fair.
I think they're trying to make the best of things. They're not having a great time out of life, any of them, really. But because they get to come to this pub, Early Doors is a reference to before the Licensing Act changed, that people used to have to wait for their sort of evening opening hours. And sometimes they'd try and get there a little bit before and get in early doors. Should have said, by the way, just two series, 2003, 2004. So
he wanted to do another one, didn't he? I don't know if you've read this, but he wanted to do another one and the BBC said no. Well, they pissed it about. They sort of put it on at different times. So people lost the second series and stuff, which is fucking so shit.
This is one that, despite loving Royal Family and liking Craig Cash, I didn't watch this when it was on telly. And this sort of sums it up. The BBC didn't put it in the best place time, but we went... I don't know what it would be now, about 12 years ago, me and Jodie went down to St. Ives for New Year's Eve, and she bought this as a DVD for me and said, I think you'll like this. And we put it on, and straight away we had both series, and I just thought, wow. I kind of couldn't believe that I'd not watched it when it was on telly. I think it's so clever. I don't know if it's got the absolute laugh out loud moments of some of the ones we've mentioned, but I just think it's just such nice comfort viewing. Yeah, I could watch him over and over again on a loop and still sort of chuckle to myself every time.
Every character is a little bit sort of, I don't know, I suppose like your real mates. They've all got big faults, but you like them all. You know what I mean? They're all really charming, aren't they?
Yeah, and it's quite clever, the format as well, because it's almost a sketch show in a sense that Ken moves from scene to scene. So when the police guys come in, they sit in the back room. We get their scene. Then we cut to the front room where you've got people like Eddie. You get Tanya. You get Tommy. You get Mel moving from one piece to another. But she then introduces sometimes going upstairs and speaking to his mom, who's got a housekeeper, Winnie. She's a fantastic character. Some of their interaction is mom and Winnie. And Winnie, some fantastic dialogue there. And there's also some sort of bit more sitcom-y moments. So, like, Winnie snaps back at Gene, and then to sort of cut the silence, the noise is Gene sucking in on her inhaler and that sort of whizzing sound that I thought was just so well done.
I didn't think this was my clip because it was too short, but there's a brilliant bit where, I mean, this was before his crimes became public. You probably know what I'm going to say, but he's before his crimes became public, but everyone sort of knew what was going on, which is ridiculous anyway. But he's on the phone. She goes, yeah, I know. There's only Cliff Richard and Jimmy Savile that can sleep safely in their beds these days. She's in Threads as well, which is always a good thing for me.
Yeah, one of your favourites. So in the first series, we see the relationship between Mel and Liam, who's... First time, as far as I'm aware, that we see James McAvoy, who went on to massive success. And he's part series one. And then series two is still Mel. She gets a different boyfriend. But it also looks at the fact that Ken is her sort of adopted dad. And
real dad
comes into it.
Yeah.
And it does kind of have some quite touching moments in there, because Ken's worried about, is she going to push him out? And she clearly sort of still loves him and calls him a dad. And yeah, it's one of them that's not all just silly gags. I think there is some clever writing. There's quite sort of sad moments in there. I think sort of Tanya's clearly got a thing for Ken, but he kind of doesn't really want to go down that route. And
I think it came back as a stage show, but I think there were a lot of loose ends that could have done with another series to finish him off, weren't they?
Yeah, but again, I suppose, and this is where the royal family went a little bit.
Mm.
They went down the specials route and did some mad episodes, whereas this just felt like almost we just had CCTV in this pub for a couple of years and then it got taken down. I quite like the fact it was quite open-ended. I know loads of people are really critical of Sopranos ending, but I kind of quite like that there's some your own interpretation to
what
happened. Yeah. So, yeah, only two series to go. If I'm honest, I'm probably slightly surprised it got through.
Yeah, but at the same time, when we were in the nominations, loads of people said, you've got to have the
Odor.
Someone's actually, I'm not going to who it was, but someone actually said, what's the point of doing this when Early Doors is the best? I think the people who love this absolutely love it.
Yeah, agreed. I think it's quite cultish. It's quite, I mean, there are some sitcoms that do that, aren't they? And we'll come to others through the series that never made it really on TV and became bigger on DVD. So, I'd be interested in the next round to see what it's got against the sort of might of Father Ted.
What clip have you got for us?
My clip is where Phil and Nige, who are two of the policemen, are speaking to Kate. I mean, they're brilliant characters.
They are amazing.
Not even just corrupt. It's just incompetent. They're ridiculous, but you can kind of almost imagine them as real people. And this is, I could have picked any one of their clips, to be quite honest, but when I was watching through this made me laugh. So this is what I'm going to play. It's them discussing kind of these days things that you can say and what you can do. And yeah, here it is.
It's this Chinese flu, isn't it?
Oh, right, it's terrible.
But we can't be caught saying that anymore, Kent.
What?
Chinese flu. It's not PC.
You are having me on.
Well, no. PCs have got to be PC now. You can't be an un-PC PC anymore.
You can't talk about race, creed, colour. It's racism, that, sexism, this, which is fine. I agree with all that. It's wrong. There's no place for it in today's society. But you can't even laugh at dwarves anymore, Ken. Where did it all go wrong?
I don't know.
When they're jumping about at the Panto in Snow White and you're paying £35 a ticket, that's fine. They want you to laugh at them then. But you see, the same fella out shopping with his family on Deansgate, you wind your window down, start singing hi-ho, hi-ho, he'll turn around and tell you to piss off. Didn't he, Phil?
He did.
It's brilliant how outraged they are. It's like, well, I'm telling you. You can't. I'm not going to. I've got a feeling they. I could be wrong, but I've got a feeling this might go out. So I'm going to say this scene now before I forget it. There's a really good scene with those two, where they like intercept like a burglary, and they end up keeping the. I think they end up keeping the thing because, hey, I tell you what, it's like a one generation game. Great.
Yeah, there's a bit as well, and we talked about this when we were discussing them earlier, but where it says something like, oh, it's rough down that estate now, and they say, oh, we wouldn't know, Ken. You won't catch us stopping down there. When we drive through that bit, blue lights on straight through.
Yeah. And obviously, like, they're so corrupt. They give Ken, like, a disabled badge, don't they, so he can park anywhere. And it's funny when Ken's daughter always says, like, where's disabled badge, Dad?
It's not that they're saying, look, guys, is any chance for not? I love how off, like, they offer up the disabled badge.
Yeah, they'll say, well, I can get another one if you want.
Dad, have you seen disabled badge? No, I haven't, love, no. Hey, yeah, Ken, no trouble. We'll get you another one if you want one. Yeah, brilliant characters.
There's a great bit as well where he says, he's having a pint in the pub. They're supposed to be still, because how long you got left? He goes, an hour and a half, a couple more in here, then nonce at next pub, and we'll have to clock off.
Yeah, really good, this one. And I'm really interested in this matchup. I think on paper, Father Ted, you know, not necessarily I want to get through, we're not doing that. I think Father Ted probably is the favourite to get through. But yeah, I'm intrigued to see whether Early Doors can pull it out of the bag again.
Well, this is my Early Doors clip. There's no reason to sort of tell you what's going on because it's self-explanatory, really. This is all that's happening.
Do you like circuses, Joe?
Not forced.
Oh, I like circuses. Do you like circuses, Tommy?
No, they're shite.
Oh, I do. Do you like circuses, Tanya?
Not really.
Oh, I do. They're great. Do you like circuses, Debbie?
Yeah, they're good fun. Kids like them.
They do, don't they? So do I. Do you like circuses, Nicola?
Yeah, they're all right. They are, aren't they? What about you, Duffy? Do you like circuses?
Never been to one.
Oh, you'd love them. I do. Do you like circuses, Ken?
I don't know, Joan.
What are we talking about, Joan?
Circuses, Eddie.
Oh, I love circuses. They're great. Oh. Do you like circuses, Joe?
It's a certain type of humour to get that. I can see why you'd think, what? I can't start with.
Yeah.
It's so funny, yeah. There's a lot of clips like that. I love the bit where Eddie's talking about the roadworks and he's saying, it's this like rehearsed lines in his head that he's got where he tells everybody the same thing. And it's like,
yeah.
If you go around on King Street and take the first left and round on the corner and turn around. And he's so pleased with himself that he knows a way around. And that he can
so
tell
many people like that I've met. Who have no awareness of you keep saying the same thing over and over and over. But I've said amazing about 50,000 times tonight, to be fair. But yeah, he just keeps saying the same things over to different people in exactly the same manner. Got it spot on with that. Another great bit where Joe goes for a shit in the toilet and Eddie comes out and goes, Joe's just having a shit, and tells everybody because, like, he goes to his missus and goes, just been saying Joe's having a shit.
yeah, fantastic. So they are your first matchups. You're not going to get to vote until you've heard us discuss all the matchups.
But we're going to try and get three pods out in the next 2 weeks because you're going away, aren't you? So basically, we think the groups are going to be. Am I right in saying 2nd of April, Liam? That's when you're going to be off to vote, should I say?
No. So this one and the next three episodes will all be out by the 8th, which is when I go away.
Oh yeah, so I'm fucking shit. Sorry.
So that week that I'm away, it will be the voting week, and then I'll come back. And on Tuesday the 16th, we'll have a look and see who's got through into the quarters, and we will discuss match one of the quarterfinals.
Yeah. So it's the 8th. I've got a week in advance. Yeah. So this, you should be able to vote on these by the 8th, but we've got another three podcasts coming where we're going to discuss the rest of the matches. And the next podcast will see us, debate, Peep Show versus Max and Paddy's Road to Nowhere and Friday Night Dinner versus Phoenix Nights. I've not seen Friday Night Dinner, so I've had to watch a couple of episodes. I've pretty much finished series one now, so yeah.
I need to refresh myself, but yeah, I've seen it, so yeah, just refreshes for me. But good episode, hope you enjoyed it. As we've said, each time something gets through, a few more clips, a bit more detail, but hopefully that's given you a snapshot of each, and yeah, please carry on voting when we get through to the voting stage, and thank you for all the interaction we've had.
Yeah, thanks a lot, and I will see you next time, Leroy Jenkins.
Arrivederci.
If anyone wants to get in touch with us, send us anything, find us on Twitter at livingwithmade1, or you can send us an email at livingwithmadeley@outlook.com. Living